This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
Droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fuel. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Shot Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and fiancé, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, we're discussing lessons the sequel trilogy and Rebels should learn from the expanded universe. So we're about to get started. Sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. Sorry for no show the past couple weeks. Blame a busy work schedule and a complete and utter lack of news.
Boo.
But before we go too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this show can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Battlestar Galactica, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And I said, Bacalactica.
Battlestar Galactica.
Galactica.
Sound it out.
Galactica.
Galactica. And on that note, what's new on the blog, Nancy?
We got a lot of stuff new on the blog because we haven't podcasted in a few weeks. That's what happens.
Oops.
But Bria reviewed Darth Maul Lockdown, the first EU book from the 2014 calendar, and only one of two right now. So if you're looking for EU books to read, you should go pick up Darth Maul Lockdown. She liked it. I have not read it yet, but I'm not opposed to reading it. I may eventually read it.
We just got slammed last month and did not have the chance.
Not the biggest Darth Maul fan, but it might be interesting. Bria liked it.
Now, all three of us are sitting on advanced copies of Swear Hat.
Yes. I'm about maybe 3/4 of the way through.
I'm approximately 0% of the way through. I am going to start reading it this weekend.
It's a pretty quick read. If you're actually reading it, which I haven't been.
The early buzz from advanced reviewers are positive so far.
Yeah. I actually want to do a show when Swear Hat comes out. Because it's kind of a double-edged sword because I am liking the book so far. And I think it's a well-written book and it's fun. And, you know, the characters are very well-written. The new character is pretty good. However, I'm sick of the same story over and over. And not necessarily that we've heard the story, but it's Han after A New Hope. And oh dear God, I'm so bored with that.
I really wish they'd explore the period between Empire and Jedi.
Well, that's a problem when it comes to Han.
Yeah. But we can hope for
that would be a very short book.
We can hope for the Luke book being that.
Yeah, I doubt it.
Or a Wedge book. Let's have a Wedge book set between Empire and, Jedi.
Or set during Empire. Like
I would read
crap,
that.
My rogue leader went MIA. What the hell do I do now?
I'd read that. Another free one from us.
Yeah, so I kind of want to... I mean, it's like, it's not that I don't like the book. It's just like... I don't know. We had Scoundrels.
Last year was such a great year.
Yeah, we had Scoundrels. We had Han in the Dash Rendar book. We had Han in the Leia book. And it's kind of just like... He was, you know, I don't want to do spoilers for Swear Hat. But certain things happen in Swear Hat that we've seen a billion times before. And I'm like... Okay. At least it's well written. It's good. And I'd like James S.A. Corey to write more Star Wars books. just not necessarily.
Let's give him something
in that time period.
Let's give him something in another time period.
Yeah,
with
something new,
a
to
bigger
write.
Cast.
This makes me mad that like we can't go forward with the EU we have right now, because Genesis and Corey writing in that era would be really cool.
Oh, can you imagine James
S.A. book?
Oh, a Ben book by James S.A. Corey. I would read the ever-loving daylights out of that.
Yeah. Anyway,
but,
we're getting sidetracked.
It is well-written.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's not bad, but that's the problem. It's like, I don't want to go, oh, this is a bad book. But it's just, I don't know.
It's safe.
I know everyone loves Han Solo, but I just, everyone says Luke is boring, but Han bores me.
So you're not exactly the target for this book.
No. It's just, yeah.
As someone who's more Han neutral than you,
yeah,
I think I'm going to enjoy this
one. I find Han interesting, but to a point. I find Han a lot more interesting, like, after Return of the Jedi.
So you probably loved Han in Solo Command.
Yeah, I was just going to say, Solo Command was great. And, like,
And we come back to this. I wish I lived... could go to the alternate world where Aaron Alston had written that Han coming to terms with he married way over himself.
But then
book.
He wouldn't have had Starfighters of Adamar.
I know, that's why I'd come back to this universe. I just need a...
Why couldn't we have had both books?
Right.
Yeah.
I need that Sliders watch.
Can't they do that now? They don't want to go like super forward in the EU. Have
okay,
Aaron Alston
yes,
write
yes.
that book... that takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Yes, now is the perfect time for Aaron to write the Han coming to terms with having married way over himself.
Yeah. And or not even married, but just being with Leia.
Okay. Now seems like the perfect time for this book. You can set it you can set it a little bit after Jedi.
Yeah.
And yeah. It's great.
Yeah.
It doesn't conflict with anything, assuming that Han and Leia are married in the sequel trilogy. I guess it's not a given at this point.
Well,
but.
Yeah. But anyway, we were talking about Darth Maul Lockdown.
Right. There's a review on the blog. Go
yes.
check it out.
And there's also some comics reviews. Emily reviewed the new Serenity comic, Leaves on the Wind #1, and which is a very mean title, by the way. While Bria reviewed Legacy #11 and the Star Wars #5. Brian, you reminded everyone to go watch Gargoyles because one of the executive producers, writers, creative people involved in Rebels was involved in Gargoyles.
Yes, Greg Weissman.
And apparently Gargoyles is on YouTube.
It is. Disney has just uploaded the entirety of Gargoyles to YouTube that you can watch free and legally, and you should because it's a great show, and it's essentially a Next Generation cast reunion.
Ah.
It stars Jonathan Frakes.
Ah, okay. #1.
Unfortunately, the character he's playing doesn't weirdly step over chairs as he sits down. Go YouTube that.
The Hondo caravan visited Dathomir and Mortis. I think Bria did not like the Mortis episodes.
nonplussed would
which
be
which I was
a
not
mild
surprised about because she's read Fate of the Jedi and yeah.
I don't think you have to read Fate of the Jedi to be unimpressed.
But I think
with that
if arc. You are if you have read Fate of the Jedi, you're more likely to be.
True, but did you or
impressed.
I like that arc before we read Fate of the Jedi?
I was meh about it. I could have dealt with it fine if it had just been in the Clone Wars, but then they had to tie it into Mortis or to Fate of the Jedi, and then I really didn't like it.
Yeah. We might be coming back to this topic.
She also broke, the Hondo Caravan also broke out of the Citadel, which are some of my favorite episodes.
Loved that arc.
Yes. And then dove underwater with Captain Ackbar in the Mon Cal episodes. And finally, in a shocking turn of events, we talked about diversity.
And we did.
The past.
What?
I know. I wrote an article entitled Diversity for Diversity's Sake is Not a Bad Thing, which I basically say, if you want to gender swap a character or make a character a different race just for the hell of it, that's not necessarily a bad thing. you know, all the people who say, oh, well, it has to fit the story, and just putting, you know, making a character black or making a character a woman, you know, doesn't, you know, doesn't make the story better, and you just need good characters.
So clearly the right thing to do is just make the characters straight white males.
Yeah, basically I was saying,
because diversity is hard.
It's not really hard. It's take half your background characters, make them women, take half them, make them, you know, of other races, or, you know, not even half, like, most of them.
You know what's hard? Writing is hard.
Yeah.
Do you know how much research goes into writing anything?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think you need to research, like, oh, a character of another race, you know? It's like, I write science fiction that's set in the future. I think that in the future, most people will be biracial or multiracial because it just makes sense. So I write characters that have brown skin, and they are exactly the same as everyone else. They're not, I mean, I don't feel like I need to do a lot of research onto this because, you know, it's, I mean, maybe if I was writing a book set in the antebellum South and I was writing from a slave's point of view,
you might want to get some input and do some research.
But I'd
on
also
that.
Need input from a white woman on the antebellum, you know, period. So basically the point is, if you're a writer, you're gonna have to research stuff, or make stuff up, which you will also have to do research in order to make stuff up, which makes, you know, a lot of sense, right? Make researching stuff to make stuff up.
So are you saying that something else writers can do are research people?
Yeah. Or just, like, look around your daily life. I work in an office every day, and there are people of all different colors and genders. So why should a life in a book not resemble that? If everyone in your office is a straight white dude, you might be in Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, basically the point is, stories should resemble real life. Real life is diverse, so therefore,
and if your science fiction novel resembles a clan gathering,
yeah,
you might be writing your science fiction novel wrong.
Unless there's a reason for that, which you might want to write a different story, because probably wouldn't come across very well.
No.
So basically, point being, if you want to make a character, if you want to make Spider-Man black, go for it. Why the hell not? I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Diversity for diversity's sake is good.
Yeah.
Because, in part, it forces the author to critically examine the socio-political dynamics of the cast.
Like, okay, so me having a black character in a science fiction book might not make it much different than if it was a white character based on the world I've created. However, having a black Spider-Man might make a difference considering Spider-Man's background. So that might be really interesting. It might not change anything, but how do you know unless you play with it?
Exactly.
You know? It's the same thing with my whole wanting Qui-Gon to be a woman.
We've talked
on the
about
surface,
this
on the surface, it doesn't change the story. But when you get into all the little issues, it
the unsaid
does.
Subtext makes it so much better.
Yeah. So basically, point being, I think creators should not be afraid to explore diversity.
Because the only thing worse than getting diversity wrong is
not trying. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, like, if you have a character in Star Wars who's gay, probably will have nothing to do with the plot, have no effect on the plot whatsoever. However, it's there, and why not? It's kind of like the whole argument people make about Dumbledore, J.K. Rowling saying that Dumbledore was gay, and there were a lot of people who were annoyed that that wasn't a part of the books. I actually like that it wasn't a part of the books, because it basically goes to show that if Dumbledore liked men or women, it didn't matter at all.
What he was doing.
Yeah, it was irrelevant. You know, it wasn't his story. It was Harry's story. And I'm sorry, if you couldn't pick out the subtext between him and Grindelwald, you need to reread the book. Because it was there. But yeah, basically the point being diversity for diversity's sake is not a bad thing. And it's, you know, you can definitely do diversity wrong if you stereotype people. Don't do your research. Don't talk to people. If you make your female characters all, you know, ditzy airheads.
Yeah, if you're... Okay.
If all your villains are black or brown.
How do I want to phrase this? If you're writing a... if you're writing any minority character based on what predominant media stereotypes of them are, you're not doing this right.
Right.
But if you're writing anything based on predominant media stereotypes, you're not writing right.
Right. So, yeah. That was my argument. And then you also deconstructed four stupid arguments against diversity. One of them being how, you know, the character should be the only thing that matters.
That is the... Okay, we're a PG-13 show, so I can say this at least once. That is the biggest load of bullshit.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Well, that's one of the things I brought up in the article. It's that, it should only be the character. Okay, but if you're writing a book, most of the time, you don't really have... I mean, you describe the characters as much as you want.
If all of your characters are straight white dudes, your characters are boring.
Yeah, so like... It's like there are so many Jedi that we don't really know much about other than maybe their hair color. And then they get a picture in the some sort of reader's guide. And everyone's like, ugh, another white dude, you know, just because that's the default instead of making them a different color. You know, it's be easy to do and changes nothing, but it makes the Jedi Order more diverse. And that's a good thing. And same thing when you're, you know, casting a movie. People say, the character should be the only thing that matters, blah, blah, blah.
You know what the unsaid subtext of that argument is? Characters are the only thing that matter. And by extension, if the character is not what you're expecting, they're not a white, straight male, then clearly they're not a good character. That's the subtext that goes along with that stupid argument.
Yeah. So, okay, so basically, you know, then, okay, what if you're casting a romance? You're casting the male lead and the female lead, and the best actors for those parts are one is black and one is white. Then, so you just cast, then you're supposed to be, you just cast them. That's not how it works, really. It's not, you know, still, there'd be like, is this good fly, blah, 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 blah.
No, how this works is you create a deep and compelling character.
Yeah.
That happens to be X.
Yeah. Or you create a character and send out a casting call for anyone within a certain age range, disregarding race.
Mm-hmm.
Which doesn't really ever happen.
Nope.
Like, for example, Katniss Everdeen.
I mean, and again, with this argument, it's like the only thing that matters are good characters. And characters of color, minorities, different sexual orientations.
So they're not good color?
Good characters?
Yeah. I'm more apt to think a story is good and well written if they have a lot of diverse characters. Because
reflective of. Yeah. What you see when you walk outside.
A lack of diversity is an indicator of a poorly thought out story. I mean, and we've talked about this before, how looking back, there are lots of shows and movies that, you know, are really great, but they could have done a lot better on the diversity front. Now, you don't really have any excuse to not, you know, not do that.
Exactly.
Like, imagine, like, Shawshank Redemption is one of my favorite movies. And I don't necessarily like the movie because Morgan Freeman is in it. That's not like, but he does make the movie so much better because he's such a good actor. The character is not supposed to be black. He's supposed to be Irish. That's why the line in the movie is, maybe it's because I'm Irish. And it was in the short story Stephen King wrote. And I don't think they ever really described what, I haven't read the story, so I don't know. But basically, they cast Morgan Freeman because he's Morgan Freeman, and they kept that line because it was funny. So that's a, you know, a way to do diversity right. And they have, you know, you look in that movie and there are lots of people in the background who are, you know, different colors. And
I would posit that if diversity is something that causes you to have your viewing experience shattered, maybe that's something you want to reflect on.
Yeah.
Have some internal discussions with yourself.
Basically, the point is, you know,
I mean,
there's,
I don't know why it is that when we're calling for diversity, people think that we want Star Wars to be Captain Planet.
What's wrong with Captain Planet?
Where do you start?
But yeah, I mean, I understand, you know, people always say it shouldn't be about quotas and like whatever, but it's not about, okay, you need a white female and a black female and a gay female and a white male and a black, you know, it's not like filling in holes. It's taking characters that you have and saying, what if this person was this?
You have these character archetypes. You have these characters that you've already plotted out.
Yeah.
Their personalities, all of this built up. And it's, okay, does this character that I've already mapped have to be X?
Yeah. And if the answer is no, then why not make them something else?
Exactly.
It might end up being a really good changed your story. It might not change anything about your story except increasing the diversity, and why is that a bad thing? I don't understand why that would be a bad thing. But moving on, Bria discussed diversity among the stars and the royals of Alderaan, and we are all shocked at the focus of her article. We all keeled over and died because Bria wrote about Alderaan. But she has a point in that, you know, Bail Organa is another character who could have easily been white dude, but instead was Jimmy Smith.
Because Jimmy Smith.
Yeah. So that's one of the things that the prequels did well, and when it came to, you know, secondary characters, at least, is they definitely
still hurt on the lead character front, but on the secondary character front, A+.
Yeah. I mean, you've got Mace Windu and Jango Fett and, you know, Bail Organa. So, I mean, they could have just very easily been white dudes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, instead they just cast actors and, I mean, and I remember reading that George Lucas wanted to cast I can't pronounce the, is it Mari or more? I can't pronounce the, what, Tamara Morrison's background. I think it's Mari. I think he wanted to cast someone of that background because they were filming in Australia. So that's kind of cool, you know, that.
And clearly that hurt the film terribly.
I know, it did so bad.
It was
bad.
Just terrible for the character.
Yeah, so
heavily laced with sarcasm, if you can't pick that up.
So basically, you know, the whole point being is that Bria's was like, hey, look at the Organas. They're, you know, one of the most powerful families in the galaxy, and they're not white. That's awesome. We should do more of that. So
agreed. And we will be talking more about this later.
Yes, we will.
With that, it's time for Fixer Slash, the geeky things we've been up to in the past week or so.
And this will be a very short segment because we didn't do much. We watched the Super Bowl. Brian is from Seattle and is very excited. Everyone else was bored out of their minds. Brian, however, loved it. So we apologize, everyone from Denver.
And the rest of the U.S.
But
for
Brian
how boring
is,
it was.
Brian is hashtag sorry, not sorry.
Greatest football game ever.
And we also watched the Puppy Bowl. Because it's the Puppy Bowl and it's the best day of the year. I love the Puppy Bowl.
Tomorrow, however, we will be doing something kind of geeky.
We're going to see a Frozen sing-along.
Yay. I'm sure you're all shocked by this stunning turn of developments.
Let it go. Let it go. Okay, I won't sing anymore.
Yeah, not much geeky stuff. That's what happened when you work the late shift. Aww. And with that, Deke's Dirt news from around fandom. We got some stuff this week. We kick it off with a bit of expanded universe news and quotes, air quotes. Christy Golden reminds us that Sword of the Jedi is on hold.
Yes, we're all very surprised by this, except people who were paying attention.
Yeah, I mean, until we know what goes on with the continuity, Sword of the Jedi's on hold.
Yeah.
Yeah, I am somewhat doubtful it ever comes out.
Me too.
But, yeah, there we are. And Episode 7 stuff. According to USA Today, J.J. Abrams says that the script is done and filming is slated to begin in May.
Yay?
Yay!
But we still don't know anything.
We know that there's going to be R2.
Yay.
No casting announcements yet. Yeah. Carrie Fisher, on the other hand, told TV Guide that she, Mark, and Harrison will begin work in March or April. And of course, when it comes to Carrie Fisher, you never really know what to believe.
Is she trolling or is she just telling the truth and no one's reining her in? I think both are
equally plausible.
Yeah, equally plausible. So basically the point is that they're supposed to start filming in May and we still know Jack.
As Pablo reminded us yesterday, we'll know something when contracts are signed. So contracts aren't signed yet?
Yeah. I don't know.
We'll see. And on the rumor front, Judi Dench to play Mon Mothma.
That's what that rumor makes me do.
Okay, unpopular opinion time with Nancy Schwartz.
I heard people going, oh, that's great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, really? We're spreading rumors about Mon Mothma, of all people?
Okay, and
Mon freaking Mothma.
Is that the best we can do with Judi freaking Dench?
I know! Judi Dench needs to be like,
Judi Dench should be some high-ranking Jedi Master.
Yeah, or New Republic official. Some
military commander.
Well, yes! I mean, granted, you know, Mon Mothma probably will be a high-ranking figure if they use her, but how do we even know they're going to use her? She could be dead? I think at this point in the timeline in the EU, she is dead, so that'll be fun. Poor Mon Mothma, she never got a death. She just kind of faded away.
I want to see.
But maybe that's better for her.
I want to see Military Commander General Judi Dench.
Yeah, but basically, I'm just kind of like, really?
No, Admiral Judi Dench, with her direct report being General Wedge Antilles. Would that not be the best thing ever?
Oh God. But my point, we will also discuss this later, is why are we rumoring about someone playing freaking Mon Mothma? Because if Mon Mothma plays a big role in the sequel trilogy, it's going to be a really shitty movie. Because, dear God, can't we do something different than use Mon Mothma, who's going to be, what, in her 70s then? But this, you know,
Be clear. I am all for Judi Dench in Star Wars.
I'm not saying that, you know, older people can't play a role because, sure, she can. She can, you know, like Dooku was a role, you know, whatever. I have a problem with it being a Mon Mothma because it's basically, let's pick a woman from Star Wars who would be older.
Okay, exactly. This is, I love and hate this rumor.
Yeah.
I love Judi Dench in Star Wars. I love everything about that. I hate that this is the typical fan casting crap.
If it was just Judi Dench up her role in Episode 7, I'd
cheers,
be like,
cheers, flailing, yay! What?
But then for Mon Mothma, I'm like,
how lazy is that rumor?
Yeah. So basically, yeah, I don't know. I just find it kind of meh and boring and leading to the whole point about passing the torch, which we'll discuss later.
We're just sick of rumors. We are so bloody sick of rumors.
Mara is sick of rumors, too. And if you follow my Twitter feed, you may get some rumors. Confirmed rumors from my source. My source being...
Mara the dog.
Mara the dog, who's probably as accurate as everyone else on the internet. Because her name is Mara, so obviously she knows what she's talking about. Right, Mara?
Woof. And moving over to Rebels stuff. Rebels movie rumored to air this summer.
I thought we already knew that.
We don't have anything official yet, do we?
They said they were going to make a movie, and it was going to air on the Disney Channel, and that was going to be the premiere.
We just didn't know when.
Yeah.
Apparently summer.
Okay.
We met the latest character from Rebels, Chopper the Droid.
Yay, droids. I like droids.
It's a grumpy, snarky droid. I'm all in favor of grumpy, snarky droids.
I am too. I can't see anything wrong with that.
And we got 6 new propaganda-style art pieces, which was the big announcement from Tuesday.
Yeah. I feel bad because these are really cool, but...
They're getting overshadowed in people just getting annoyed that there is no news.
Well, plus because, like, news have been breaking with, like, toy stuff. And
yeah,
it's, like,
I mean,
And German TV shows.
I don't know... I mean, I don't have a degree in PR, but to me, it seems like these character details leaking via Rebel or via Lego toys
is lame.
Yeah, it's a little anticlimactic.
Yeah. I would like to know more. I hope we know more by the time Star Wars Weekends comes around, or at least that they tell us things at Star Wars Weekends.
Otherwise, it's going to be the most boring Star Wars Weekends ever.
Well, we have all this stuff from Rebels, but we can't show you or tell you anything. So
let's go to Dave Filoni waving to the audience. Hi, Dave. It's a very nice hat you got, Dave.
Yeah. And that's it as far as news, which is why... We haven't been rushing to record the podcast in between you being at work late, because...
There's been no news. I mean, I know, it's completely self-serving for us wanting news, because we run a blog and a podcast. We kind of need news to
But
function.
I would want news even if we didn't run a blog and a podcast.
Yeah.
Or at least, like, it's really hard to speculate when you have nothing to speculate on. And, like, I'm not one of those people who can be like... I think episode 7 is going to feature this character and this type of plot and blah, 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 when I know absolutely nothing about it.
I can only talk about episode 7 and Rebels in very macro terms now, and there's only so much macro I can do.
Yeah, like once they announce characters or like when it's going to fit in the timeline and who the actors are going to be, then it will be a lot easier.
Well, then we get to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Then it's speculation that isn't utterly pointless.
Yeah, that's the fun part. Like, I don't really want to have spoilers, but I love doing, I think
once,
this is going to happen.
Once you get those details, it becomes the fun, positive speculation.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's what's new in Star Wars land.
Not a whole lot.
We're
going to have to become another fandom...
We talk about other... We need to find a show. To watch.
Let's see. Every other week, we will now be podcasting about
Property Brothers.
Property Brothers. Every other week, we're the Property Brothers podcast.
I love it or list it.
And we're just going to start talking about HGTV every other week. Hope you don't mind. Okay. Shall we do Cammy's Concerns?
Yes.
Let's do Cammy's Concerns. Lessons, the sequel trilogy, and Rebels should learn from the expanded universe. And there are things that can be gleaned from the EU.
Yes. Oh, I'm being pushed. Hi. Uh-huh.
Mara, the dog and show mascot, has awoken from her slumber.
She says, you should include Mara Jade in the sequel trilogy. That's her suggestion.
Now, we all know where I stand on this. Mara would be great, not only as an acknowledgement to Expanded Universe fans, but to watch all of the film purists' heads blow up.
I just like her in the background, just standing there, rolling her eyes about something.
and just listed in the credits, yeah. Mara Jade, and watch everybody freak out.
And I know people have said that they don't think that Luke will be married, and if he is married, it's kind of weird to, like, explain that whole relationship and everything. And I'm like, I don't think so. Just have him be married and have his wife be there, and her name is Mara Jade.
Because that no attachment thing worked so well.
But I mean, you don't have to explain. I mean, it's pretty obviously, you know, he met someone and fell in love and got married. That's the story.
The end.
It's much more interesting if you just, you know, end up with him and, you know, kissing some lady, then I'd faint.
Now, where are all these Jedi supposed to come from?
Midichlorians.
But weren't the midichlorians...
The midichlorian stork.
But wasn't the midichlorians kind of eugenicked out of
the
galaxy?
No, because it's not... In the Old Republic, it wasn't... It didn't go by... it didn't run in families, apparently. Because they stole babies from their families.
What? Yeah, let's hope that's one thing they don't put back in.
So, here, this is actually relevant. We didn't add this to the show notes, but I hope that the sequel trilogy does not keep the no attachment rule. I hope that they have Luke be in a marriage or relationship. I want him to have a child or kids. I don't want him to be a hermit. I don't want him to think he can't be in a relationship because he knows better.
Because prohibition is always the right answer.
He knows better. I mean, it was the whole power of love that brought Anakin back from the dark side. So, rule number one that sequel trilogy should not abide by is the freaking no attachment rule.
If Luke didn't have an attachment to his father, wouldn't he have just killed Vader? It would have been a lot
just
easier.
Just like Yoda and Ben wanted him to do.
And in that moment, Luke created a new path for the Jedi.
Yes. Hello. So yes, no attachment rule. No attachment rule.
Yes. No attachments.
So another thing the sequel trilogy and Rebels can learn from the expanded universe is how to go about having diversity.
Now, the expanded universe was both great and terrible at this.
Yes. Because there are some, you know, books in the expanded universe which are very good and have a lot of diverse characters. And
take a look at the X-Wing novels.
Yeah, and you've got, you know, female characters and lots of alien characters, you know, which is a big part of Star Wars. But then everyone on the Jedi Council seemed to be white.
Hey, there was a token alien or two in there.
And mostly white dudes.
And then we go back to this wonderful juxtaposed picture that friend of the show and blog Mike Cooper has posted over at TFN.
Yeah, the Phantom Menace Jedi Council versus the Jedi Council at Mara's funeral.
Whole lot of white dudes.
Yes, and it's not even diversity as just in appearance. It's diversity as in character. Because everyone in the Jedi Council is basically the exact same person. And
it's like if you're playing Team Fortress and everyone is a heavy. Everyone's a heavy.
Or if you want to do another video game, everyone in WoW is a tank or a healer. You know? Like, yeah, okay, Kligal's the, you know, token healer and Kip Duron's the token pilot dude. But they don't really use that unless they have to, you know. Even, like, Cam and Tion, who I liked that they were running the Jedi Academy, and Fate of the Jedi, oh, they're at the Jedi Temple because they have to be there. And I'm like, but never mind. So basically, you need to have diverse characters, both in appearance and in their actual
So
characters.
You're saying that the Jedi in the sequel trilogy shouldn't be super soldiers?
No, they shouldn't be all the same. They should be different.
And like how,
have their
you
own
know,
strengths and weaknesses.
Like how Obi-Wan had different strengths than Anakin.
Yes, exactly. And kind of going along with that, thought this would be a better right here is... Don't forget about the everyman in Star Wars. Star Wars was not all about the Jedi when it, in 1977, Star Wars was about a princess and a farm boy and a smuggler and a old wise old wizard and a villainous evil guy who's a shadowy figure. And Han Solo was just as important to the story as Ben Kenobi and Luke Skywalker.
And there's a lot of criticisms of the prequel trilogy I think are overblown and off base. I do think one that is legitimate was the prequel trilogy really lacked an everyman.
Yeah. And as I've said, I'm not really a huge fan of Han Solo, but he plays a very important part. And, you know, if he wasn't such an important part of the trilogy, I don't think we'd have characters like Wedge Antilles become so popular in the expanded universe. I think Obi-Wan was supposed to be that Han character, you know, kind of like the older character who is world-weary.
The older, hardened.
Cynic. Yeah, but he can't play that role because he's a Jedi.
It was hard to project onto him.
He's special. You could project onto him because Ewan McGregor was so good, but he's still special.
It was missing the blue collar character.
Yeah.
I mean, there were secondary characters that filled that role, but it was missing that from a leading aspect.
Right, because even though, I mean, Han's a great pilot, you know, you never really feel like, oh, he's way up here, you know?
The Expanded Universe, when the Expanded Universe was at its best, it had a great mix of Jedi, of everyman characters.
Yeah. And even Luke, I mean, he starts out as a farm boy. And I think Luke is portrayed best when they keep that everyman quality about him. And, like, one of the things I love about the Thrawn trilogy and is that he's the Jedi. But he feels like he has no idea what the heck he's doing still. And the same thing with Shadows of Mindor. He's the Jedi, but deep down inside, he's just Luke Skywalker and doesn't feel like he's, you know, has any, he doesn't feel like he has any right to be where he is, you know?
Yeah, and when the Expanded Universe was at its worst was when the only characters of note were characters Jedi. That were purely defined by being Jedi.
Yeah, or, you know, you've got Fate of the Jedi, where all the characters are Jedi or the Chief of State. You know, there were really no characters who were pilots or soldiers, and I think you need that. Because even though, like, you know, Thrawn trilogy, they're leading the government, but you still have got Han going out with the smugglers, you've still got Card. And even though Mara's got force powers, she's working for Card.
Yeah, when you're using these everyman characters, it gives the universe a much more lived-in, gritty, real feel.
Right. And the prequel trilogy didn't have that. You've got Padme, who's a queen, then a senator. You've got everyone else is basically Jedi. The villain is the Chancellor. So everyone is this lofty position. And yeah, you want, you know, that's, you know, good to have those types of characters, but you also need a, like, the everyman. And the droids do that well. But you need more than that, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So don't forget that the everyman exists.
Agreed.
Or every woman.
Correct.
Please do not have insular, repetitive storylines. Don't repeat the prequels or the originals. Please. We've been there, done that. We want a whole new story. I think we can all agree that the EU is at its best when it does something completely different. One of people's biggest problems with Legacy of the Force is that it's basically the rehash of the prequel trilogy, right down to a Skywalker turning dark.
And, well, we've been down this road before.
Yeah.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with borrowing similar elements
right.
and reusing them, but lifting the plot wholesale?
Yeah.
No, we've already the prequel trilogy has already told its story. The original trilogy has already told its story. The sequel trilogy needs to tell its own story.
Right.
It's got to have its own unique arc and identity.
But it still has to harken back to the themes that make Star Wars Star Wars.
It's got to be true to the feel of Star Wars, but not
mm-hmm.
be a blatant retelling
right.
of a story we've already seen.
Which is difficult because the prequel trilogy is about a character who is tempted by the dark side and succumbs to it.
The original trilogy is Luke, Campbell's classic hero's journey.
Luke doesn't succumb to it. So it will be interesting to see how that's touched upon in the sequel trilogy. Interesting, indeed. One of the things I wanted to touch on, we kind of were leading to this before when we were discussing how there's no news, but outside of just a storytelling perspective, it's a very different time to be making movies, especially from the originals, but even from the prequels. You know, social media is a big thing. Everything's shared on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and whatever. So if you think you can keep everything under wraps, you probably can't. And you should get ahead of that. And don't lie about Benedict Cumberbatch playing Khan. Spoilers. That is not from the expanded universe. However, he learned that lesson.
Actually, in a way, we can tie this back to the expanded universe because the good folks at Delray have always been good about giving us little hints, showing us little things, showing us what characters are going to be.
Yeah, they always have those mini excerpts, and then they have the previews, you know, the 50-page previews before a book comes out.
And it never spoils anything,
yeah,
but it gives you an idea of, okay, here's who's in it. Here's what you're getting into.
Yeah.
How does this end? How does this play out? I don't know, but I've got somewhat of an idea of how this is going to start.
Right. And hopefully, I mean, I don't want to be spoiled, but I don't want to find out every single cast member from a leak on some random internet site.
And that
I find out, I found out who was playing in Phantom Menace on Entertainment Tonight, you know, and I'm hoping they do some sort of, or have it come from StarWars.com. Don't have it be this big
then. In this day of social media, if someone is going to be on the film, it's going to get out into the media. And the option is to let social media control the narrative over that
or you.
Right.
And the prequels, you know, they had hyperspace and they had all the like select pictures and stuff. So they've certainly tried to give hints and little tidbits beforehand. I'm hoping they continue to do that, maybe not necessarily in the same way, but I mean, they've got a Twitter account, they've got StarWars.com. You know, use that to your advantage.
Yeah. Exposing too much is a bad thing. Exposing nothing is also a bad thing.
Yeah, because, I mean, yes, I'm going to go see Star Wars Episode 7 no matter what. However, I can't get excited about something unless I know something about it. You know, I'm not jumping around going, only 600 and something more days to Episode 7. Yay! Because, oh, yay, it's a movie. What else do I know about it? You know, it's very...
I mean, that sounds almost sacrilegious to say that just knowing that there's another Star Wars on the horizon isn't enough to get us out of our minds excited.
I mean, I have moments where I think about Luke Skywalker in Jedi robes and I almost faint, but...
I've got to cut that sound clip and use it later.
Shut up. But... I mean, like, it's kind of like, I don't know anything about it. It's like, if Delray said, we're releasing a book on this day.
Okay.
Okay, great, a new EU book. What's it about? Who's in it? Who's writing it?
You'll find out when you read it.
And you, like, well, you should be excited. We're getting a new book. And I'm like, okay.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but...
And I realize, yes, it's a little bit different because this is episode 7, the movie that was never going to happen. And yes, that does make me excited. However, it's not enough to make me not want information, too. You know, I'm not going to be satisfied with just knowing episode 7 is coming out.
And, I mean, I'm gonna differ from Abrams here. Knowing some details isn't going to take away of the wonderful first-time magic experience of seeing episode 7.
I knew stuff about all the prequels going into it. I wasn't really spoiled, but I knew some things. Like, I knew Darth Maul was... I knew that Qui-Gon was going to die. I kind of knew that Padme was going to die going into Revenge of the Sith. But I still enjoyed all the movies, and there were still little twists that I didn't know about. So,
and that's where you can use these PR things to your advantage. Revealing some things throws people off the scent of whatever twist, whatever big plot point you have planned.
Mm-hmm.
Mara the dog has awoken from her slumber once more.
And pushed me away from the microphone.
Where did we leave off on this list?
We left off on E.
E, okay. E! We're going to talk about B?
We skipped that.
We did.
Sad.
This might be the biggest sin against the expanded universe the last 10 years or so.
Can we save this for last?
Yeah, we can save that one for last. So outside storytelling perspective.
No, we did that already.
We did that one. Because the list just changed. Star Wars is not Battlestar Galactica.
What?
It's not.
It's kind of funny because the original Battlestar Galactica copied Star Wars.
Yeah. But Star Wars is not Battlestar Galactica 2004.
Right.
That one.
Yes.
That one.
Yes. As in, I don't want a grimdark story for Star Wars because it's Star Wars.
You can have your dark elements like Empire, but having the whole thing be a terribly depressing, hopeless, bleak, violent, gory, grimdark, thoroughly depressing experience.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. That's not Star Wars.
That's why you go watch Game of Thrones.
Uh-huh. And that's why we didn't like Crucible.
I think we also didn't like Crucible because it was just bad.
Well, that was a big reason we didn't like Crucible.
Yes, and related to that, a high body count does not necessarily translate into compelling drama. Plots can be interesting and full of tension without resorting to air-mailed deaths.
You mean that deaths aren't necessary to create drama?
Not necessarily. They can be used to create drama.
But if that's your crutch to create drama,
yeah. Are you putting this in because in case Luke Skywalker dies?
Yes, I'm just trying to brace you for the possibility.
I already thought of it.
Oh.
You'll have to pick me up off the floor.
Aw.
I will be crying so hard.
So there are more cool things in Star Wars than lightsabers. It's true, there are.
No, but it's everyone's a Jedi.
And again, this is one of those things that the expanded universe has done so well and so poorly.
Yes, because you have this wonderful thing like the X-Wing series.
Or the Thrawn trilogy.
Yes. And then you have things like everything published since 2005.
Where it's one lightsaber duel after another, after another, after another. Like Apocalypse and its 110 consecutive pages to start the book of lightsaber combat.
I thought you were just being exaggerated.
You thought I was kidding.
I thought you were being hyperbolic, and I was.
Then
like,
you read it.
Yeah. Then I read it. Yeah.
So yeah, break it up. Mm-hmm. Spice it up.
Yeah.
Variety's the spice of life.
That's why I really liked the opening battle in Revenge of the Sith. Because there was flying and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cooler if there were actual, like, pilots in there that you knew and were friends with.
Yeah, this is totally self-serving for me, but I hope that's one thing J.J. Abrams brings back. I want the dogfight scenes back in Star Wars.
Yeah.
So, lightsabers are cool, but there are other cool things. Mm-hmm. Spaceships. Mm-hmm. Use them.
Yes. And last but not least, I think is our biggest takeaway from what the sequel trilogy and Rebels should learn from the expanded universe.
Because this is one where they were setting up so well.
And then
they were poised to do this and
failed.
Then they fumbled the ball into the end zone for a safety.
Some Super Bowl humor there.
That's some Super Bowl humor there.
If
you're a Denver fan, if you're Eric Schoenweiss, I am so sorry.
Sorry, not sorry. The Next Generation. You need to use them because focusing on the big three will create a long-term problem, and we need new characters to carry the torch.
So there was a point in time where it was like, yeah, okay, we can go with this. So 40's the new 30, 50's mm-hmm. the new 40. Then they turn 70.
Well, and it's not just even that they continue to write about the big three because people like them. The problem was that they didn't write about the Next Generation because they only had one story going on at one time. So the focus on the big three took away from the focus on everyone else.
And this is where the standalone films can be great.
Yeah. So like you have, if they had done a bunch of different series after New Jedi Order, have one series for Jaina, Jason, you know, in that generation, and then have another series be about Luke, then you can have the best of both worlds. But instead, they kept going on with the mega series. And, you know, you have characters like Jaina struggling to make it on her own, story-wise, even now.
You know, I've just had this horrible thought.
Oh, God.
This whole focus on the mega series and pushing the timeline forward, that screwed the EU more than anything else.
Yeah, you've just now figured that out?
If they'd kept doing what they were doing, just kind of...
You've just now figured that out, Brian?
I'm slow.
Jeez,
I am not
a clever...
You are
slow.
I am not a clever man.
Shut up. But yeah, I have been on record as saying that if the main characters in episode 7 are not Skywalkers or from that lineage, then there's no
Then it's point not an episodic film, or yeah. At the very least not the sequel trilogy.
Yeah, episodic. There's no point of having it be called episode 7. It could just be a standalone film. However, that doesn't mean I think the main characters need to be Luke Skywalker or Leia or Ganna. I would like them to be in the movie, but I don't want them to be the focus. I want their children to be the focus or their grandchildren to be the focus. Because to me, that's what these episodes and the saga is all about.
Now, if they want to bring Luke, Han, and Leia in for an Expendables-style Star Wars film, I am all for
standalone
that.
Standalone movie?
Yes.
But yeah, I mean, I think having them be the main characters would be a big mistake. Because you can't sustain a franchise like that. And that's been the problem with the expanded universe, is trying to sustain the franchise with those characters when there's only so much you can do with them. And instead of taking what the New Jedi Order set up,
I mean,
just regressed.
In the expanded universe, they completed those three character arcs a half dozen times.
Yeah. Unifying Force was the perfect place to just let it go. And it didn't. And that's why it's 2014, and instead of already having our Jaina trilogy, it's on hold. And we've never really had a book about her. Or Ben. Or Jason. They've just been parts of series. And it's kind of...
I mean, and it's crappy. And it's not like we're getting a little off field from what episode 7 can learn, but screw it. We're going to keep talking about this. It's not like you couldn't continue to write stories about Luke, Han, and Leia. You just had to set them in different time periods.
Yeah, or don't do the mega series. I mean, like, because obviously...
I think that's often the takeaway from when we discuss the expanded universe. Don't do the mega series.
Yeah, because there has to be more than one thing going on at the galaxy at a time. You know, have Luke, Han, and Leia someplace, have their kids another place. Boom. Done. So, point being is, you need to let the old characters retire and create new characters that are just as fun and interesting and let them be the next generation for Star Wars. Because the prequels worked because you had carryover characters, but you also had the Obi-Wan was a major character in the prequels. He was in the original trilogy, but he was not the focus.
And see, that's the model they should be following.
Yeah. You know, you have even Palpatine.
That's the model the EU should have been following.
You know, Palpatine is still the villain in the original trilogy, but he's a shadowy, looming figure. Where Vader is the main antagonist because of his relationship to Luke. So, it would be kind of like if the protagonist of the original trilogy had been Obi-Wan instead of Luke. While that would have been really interesting, I don't think it would have been as good of a film. Because you already had Obi-Wan trying to convince Anakin to turn back to the light side, and that didn't work. So if you had done that instead, you know, you would have been rehashing the same storyline and hindering your character growth.
Now, another thing that Rebels in the sequel trilogy can borrow from the expanded universe, for all its faults, I will credit New Jedi Order for coming up with a completely different villain.
Yes, I think a lot of people would. It's hard because it's hard to imagine a Star Wars episode without the Sith. Or the dark side, because that's such... I mean, even though, you know...
It's such a thematic...
Yeah, even though there wasn't a bunch of Jedi in the original trilogy, you still had the threat of the dark side as basically, you know, what's tempting Luke.
So you do what we did with the original trilogy. The dark side, quote, is the shadowy villain in the background with another...
Yeah.
Something completely different in the foreground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just food for thought. I think that's going to wrap it up for us in Cammy's concerns this week. And wrap it up for the podcast. Be sure to check out our sister podcast, Wrong Opinions About Movies. What are they doing this week? Let's find out.
They've actually been on hiatus.
Have they?
Yeah, because of illnesses and vacations and work schedules.
Okay, I'm going to recommend you go check out their bonus podcast in which they reviewed Frozen.
I actually just listened to that again today because I remembered I hadn't listened to it since I'd seen the movie. So I went back and listened to it. And they actually don't really spoil anything.
So were their opinions right or wrong?
They were right on Frozen.
Whoa!
Yes, they both enjoyed it.
So there you go. Check it out. great podcast with some great hosts. That's going to do it for us. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Check out the links on the site to help keep the lights on. You can find us on Twitter with the handles @Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find me with @LaneWinree, LaneWinree. You can find Nancy with @NancyPants. That's Nancy with an I. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store. If you like what you hear, do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net, the official blog of the show. Thank you for listening to another episode. We don't know what we're talking about next week, but we'll see you next week.
Later!
This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.